Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
Doing well, buddy.
You're lying.
Yeah. And how are you doing today, Johnny? We're joined also by our good friend, John Peters. Your stool's waiting, John. Two bass ales waiting in front of you. How you doing, my friend?
Good. I'm happy to be back. I missed my bass last week, so.
Yeah, you missed it. Huh? How's the cold doing?
It's almost over, I think, but it still got my little bit of claws in me, so it's a mean one.
Is it going through the house, John, or just you?
I gave it to my wife, and she gave it to my son, so, oh yeah, everybody.
Share the wealth, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, for some reason, I didn't think you get the flu in Florida.
We get them, and it's miserable when you get the fever, too, and if it's hot outside, I mean, it just makes it worse, you know what I mean, so...
Us vacationers, John, we just have this image of Florida that everything's hunky-dory and it never rains and you don't get sick. And
Doug thinks that the leaves never fall.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, the trees I'm going to have on my property, John, let me tell you, I will not be raking leaves ever again after I leave New Jersey.
You're going to get like a tree of life and have fake leaves on it, Doug?
Pine tree, anything that don't drop its leaves, Doug will be buying. If it's in my yard and it does drop leaves, it's coming down. That's all I'm telling you. I am done raking, blowing, grabbing the tarp and ripping them off the front yard. I'm done with that when I move. I want an orange. Now, does orange trees drop leaves, John?
No. The only thing you have to watch with them is you can't let the fruit sit because you get fruit rats. So, you just have to make sure to pick up the produce that drops off of them, but you're good to go. So.
Okay, we're going to have some orange trees, we're going to have banana trees, and that's it. And maybe a couple lemons.
And AstroTurf.
Well, there you go.
Nah, enough yard for the dog and the grill. That's all I need, man.
Yeah, so. Put some AstroTurf out there, you'll be fine.
Oh, absolutely. I would. The wife won't allow it, but I would. Stones, baby.
Get that beautiful stuff that's in front of the castle now on the square.
That stuff's fantastic.
So
athletic turf or whatever. That's the stuff they use at like football stadiums and stuff. It's got the little rubber, ground up rubber particles in between the blades, if you will. It's pretty good. It's pretty cool stuff. We have it at our football field where I work.
Yeah, that works for me. I mean, we have when I used to live down the shore, we used to have stones.
Yeah.
And that gets old too because you get all the. I don't care what you do, I put down blocker because I used to have stone driveways.
Right.
And those weeds will find a way through it no matter what.
Yeah, buy a gallon of Roundup and once in a while go out there and give it a squirt, right?
Yeah, I don't want to do anything. All my free time, I want to be at the parks like John.
Wow.
That's why my yard looks so rough today because
those
we
are
had
big
been
shoes
doing...
to fill, Doug.
I know they are. But we're recording tonight later on Sunday. We usually record in the morning because I've been on a 7-day-a-week bender here at work, which is it's beating me up. I don't want to complain. I'm happy to have the work, but it is putting a beating on me. So you guys might have to carry me through this show. I did crack a Peroni, though, because it's 5 at night to get me through this. I needed something to ease the pain.
Yeah, you might nod off, though.
Yeah, well, just don't get too boring with the news.
Oh, okay, all right. We'll see. That's the litmus test.
Yeah, well, you know there's going to be a couple things that fire me up during this news.
Oh,
and I want to mention our good buddy Liam, who's a great as a listener of the show, who reached out to us, and we like good and bad. He told us to calm down a little bit about the complaining about the park prices. Liam, I got a little secret for you. There might be a little complaining going on in this show.
You might want to fast forward up a couple minutes.
There's going to be a lot of positive stuff. We're going to talk about food and flowers, we like to call it, or flower and garden, because John was there, and he's going to give us a review on, what, six items, John?
Yeah, I tried six or seven.
That's awesome. So we're going to do a little food and flower review, and Dennis is going to read us the news as usual. And there's a couple price increases, and I am so, so sorry. So if you want to fast forward, hit the 15-second button, please do. I'm sorry, but we have to call it when we see it. We can't all... We're positive, wouldn't you say, Den, like 95% of the time?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We drink the Kool-Aid, as you like to say. And
that's why we're doing this.
Exactly. But, you know, we set out when we started to do this that, you know, we were going to be honest. And, you know, maybe some of our opinions are over the top honest and keeping in line with Disney. But we love it there, and it's our baby. But when they do misstep in our view, we point that out as well. So I did read Lamb's email as well, and that's all good. And we like to hear comments, good, bad, or indifferent. And I hope he chooses to listen to the show or continues to listen and keep on interacting with us. It's all good.
He's a friend of the show, and friends can be honest with each other. We appreciate any feedback. We got a couple more actually positive reviews on iTunes, which were fantastic. That makes me happy when I see them.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say before I forget, thank you, John. I did get my Flower and Garden booklet, map, and I guess I got a weekend project. You included the how to make those floating, what do they call them? I call them the tires that are out there in the waterway at Epcot. But yeah, I got a chuckle out of that they gave you directions on how to make those flower beds, I guess, or whatever you'd call them.
Yeah, I remember what month or so ago when we were talking about the Flower and Garden Festival, and you mentioning that you all found those things so interesting and
yes,
fascinating. And I happened to walk through the festival center and I saw that little leaflet on it, and I'm like, you know who would like this? So
that
I had to
awesome.
Grab one and add it to the stuff. So
I have to truly and honestly admit, I'm going to cry on my beer here.
Uh-oh.
I was a little jealous. I said, Dennis got three things, and I only got two, so I was a little upset. I really was.
I'll find you one. I'll get it back in the mail when I get out there a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but now I have to dig a man-made waterway in my yard, Doug, to put these things in. So I got
yeah, I figured you were working so much, Doug, you didn't have time for an extra project, so I thought maybe Dennis would have the time to do it. So.
And speaking of that, Liam, that's the reason why I'm working so hard, because I want to move closer to the place that makes me so angry. That's why I'm working 7 days a week, so we can get to Florida eventually and live down there by the mouse. No, we love it, but there's going to be a couple stories in here I think might even get John and you fired up, let alone me.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes here. I'm looking at this news for the first time. I've been busy all weekend myself, but you ready to roll with the news, you think, or...
Absolutely, buddy. Go ahead. Being you're done painting your house and all that good stuff,
yeah.
Go ahead and talk some news.
I wish I was done, but I'm done for today. Let's see here. Disney Tag, a TAG store, opens at the Marketplace Co-op. This is, remember we mentioned this a couple of shows ago, that they were going to keep changing stores in and out as time went on, and I guess they decided to take one out. I don't know if it was the something pickles it replaced, I think. I may be wrong. But the Marketplace Co-op at Disney Springs has opened its latest new store today, a new Disney Travel Accessories and Gear Tag concept. Replacing Zoe and Pickles, if you read further, Dennis, you would have got your answer.
It's Children's okay, you
fair.
Answered yourself.
Yeah. Tag offers a whole range of Disney-inspired travel accessories and gear. The interior has completely been remodeled as an airport, giving the product a perfect sense of place.
When I first seen the pictures of it, it reminds me of that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The stewardesses in their outfits and stuff. Don't it remind you? Did you ever see that movie?
I believe I did, actually. Yeah, I see what you're saying. They got the little beret on there. And
the old school.
Yeah. Inside, you'll find everything from suitcases to travel tags to sleep masks, all with a Disney touch. Yeah, this is actually, I'm looking through this. I got some pretty nice stuff here. All kinds of stuff for traveling and little tchotchkes and towels and just anything and everything you would need to, whether you're driving, flying, taking the train. You can get whole luggage sets.
Yeah, they have like shaving cases and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they even got some stuff for the kids, a little roll-away luggage. I see Captain America, Spider-Man. Or something with a spider on. Yeah, I guess it is Spider-Man.
Here comes the Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of surprised to see that. But, yeah, so this, I'll be interested to check this place out next time down. John, did you stumble into this place, or was it not open, or you didn't even know?
I happened to be at Disney Springs yesterday, and I completely forgot about checking that place out. No, I haven't been in there, but we're going to be back out in a couple of weeks, and I'll have to run in there because I've been on the lookout for a Disney or a nice Disney bag, and I really like leather, so hopefully they got some leather luggage, and that would be really really cool. So
yeah, it looked like they had like a you know, a blend of, you know, some high-end stuff along with the, you know, the Disney, you know, I don't want to say cheap stuff, but the you know just the regular stuff, and it looks like you may be able to find something there, hopefully.
Yeah, we're gonna have to give him a list of homework to do when he's at the park all the time. We gotta make him a little bit useful. That's what we gotta do, Den. We'll ask him. We'll get him on the air. Dennis has this recorder, John, and if he sends it down to you, will you do some recordings for us around the park and some interviews with it?
Yeah. I was gonna do that with my phone, but I just haven't done it yet. But I was thinking there's got to be a way that I'd be able to do it with the phone and then just format it and send it to you, because I'd like to get, especially like maybe for the Food and Wine or for the Flower and Garden Festival, I could even do live reviews of the items as we're eating them and stuff like that, and give you a descriptive Flower and Garden or Flower and beer or whatever.
Yeah, John, I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It was last Flower and Garden, Bob and I were down there, and that's the recorder that I recorded those food reviews with Bob and I. That's what I use. It's just like a little recorder, and you upload it to some software, and we're able to grab it as an MP3 and throw it on the show. So I can mail that down to you if you want. Then you don't have to mess with your phone, and you know, if you get a call at the same time or something, it'll be kind of tough if you're recording. You know what I
okay.
mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Real quick though, what phone do you have? Do you have the 6?
Yeah, I've got a 6.
Okay, we'll talk off air, but he might be able to put that Podbeam, that podcast app on there then.
Yeah, could be.
And it might be able to upload it right to our account.
Yeah, that would be even easier. All right.
Yeah, we'll have to do that off the air. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, a little technical talk, shop talk.
Yeah.
Yes, but we got to get you to do these. We got to put you to work because you're always there. You're doing some great things, but now we're really getting jealous. So we have to make you at least earn your time at Disney World every time you're there. What do you say, Dan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I
know,
can't
John.
Just randomly walk around and drink beer anymore. Y'all are going to make me do some work, huh? So, all right.
Yeah, interview some cast members. We're going to put you to work. Get you to go into La Cava Tequila and get a hold of Hilda.
Yeah, get your glass so you can start your, getting your commemorative, your own glass there. Do you like tequila, generally speaking? Or?
I like margaritas.
Yeah. You can use them for that.
It has alcohol in it. He likes it.
Hey,
leave him alone.
All right.
Beer
we'll,
solo?
We'll talk about that after the show. But, next story. Ohana dinner hours extended at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort. The operating hours for dinner at Ohana at Disney's Polynesian Village Resort will be extended starting this weekend. Beginning March 13th, 2016, dinner service will begin at 3:30 instead of 5 p.m., and it'll run through 10 p.m. The restaurant also extended its breakfast hours last month, so I guess they want to bring in some more money. They must be hurting that they can't pull in all that money during the hours that were there, so they're going to bump it up by, what is it?
I'm gonna cut it positive. There's so many people out there that need to enjoy Ohana, so they need to have as many hours as possible.
There you go.
I am thrilled that this restaurant is open as much as it is.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a tough restaurant.
Yeah, it is a tough restaurant.
Yeah, it is one of the toughest ones to get. So.
I know you're saying that cheek in the gum there a little bit, but it is true. A lot of people get shut out, and they can't get an Ohana dinner reservation during their vacation.
I honestly, I was tongue-in-cheek joking around and just playing, but yeah, I honestly am glad they're extending it, because it is hard to get a reservation here. And I think the reason they're extending the hours, too, is because the DVC's there now, so there's more people on property.
Yeah, good point. And that's, you know, very popular. I ate there last night myself. The last time I will eat there, but I did eat there.
I'm honestly surprised with them adding DVC there that they didn't add it. I know they added the whatchamacallit, what's the name of the new Trader Sam's?
Right.
I know they added that, but I am surprised that with all the building going on, they didn't add another restaurant there. I really am.
Yeah, well, Disney's you know, mantra is that they don't add a full sit-down restaurant to the DVC resort. So I think with what they have with between Kona and Ohana and Captain Cook's and Trader Sam's and everything that's there already, I don't think they could justify it.
No, I mean, I'll disagree with you, because that resort's so popular. Mm-hmm. Like, with your resort, like, at a, because Saratoga Springs, you do have Disney Springs, which we've talked a million times. Their restaurants are basically there. Mm-hmm. But honestly, with the, and then Animal Kingdom Lodge is more of, they did add Sinai and all there, because it's off the beaten path. They did put it Sinai.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Saratoga has the Turf Club, too. They do have a restaurant. But, I mean, adding one above and beyond the base one, I guess, is what I was saying. Because
but they
if
did,
DVC, but, if they wanted to do it, DVC would have to pay for it, is what I'm saying.
No, I understand. But I'm just saying, with the popularity of this, like we did with Sinai and you did with the Turf Club, I'm surprised with the DVC at Polynesian. Mm-hmm. They didn't make a restaurant there.
Yeah.
To add to the popularity. Because that resort, regardless if people are staying there or not, a lot of people just visit that because they just love that resort, like you do.
Yeah, all the monorail loop resorts are very popular for just, you know, cruising through and checking things out, absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, I'm shocked that they didn't add something with all the with the building and then the popularity of it. So I'm thinking that's why they added the hours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like we said, I don't know if you've ever been up there at dinner time. I mean, that whole upper lobby area, you literally can't move. It's all just a sea of people, so it is crazy. And you know that the Tambu
it's
Lounge,
like being at a concert waiting for the doors to open up.
I mean, the Tambu Lounge really is it's not adequate to see, you know, for people to wait. I mean, we usually go there to get a lapu lapu before dinner and, you know, before our reservation. And you know, a lot of times we'll get the one drink. You can't even get a second drink because you'll just stand in line for 45 minutes. As fast as them bartenders work there, they just can't keep up with the demand. It's crazy.
Well, hopefully this will free it up a little bit, because especially during summer hours, it would be nicer to get a little later dinner here.
Yeah, absolutely. More hours.
What's
is
next?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said that. I mean, you know, we know why, but you know, I just generally speaking think the stuff at Disney World closes too early anyways, but that's just me.
No, I hear you, especially during the summertime. I think everything should be open later, because a lot of people go back during that middle of the day and crash because of the heat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they go to the pool, they relax. I mean, you take a nap, and I know me, there was more to do, I'd be out later.
Well,
besides,
I mean,
the park.
I've told this story before. I mean, you know, many a night we'd be either watching Yeehaw Bob, or even if he's not playing on a particular night, we'd be sitting in the River Roost, and you know, 11 o'clock on the button, they start closing those wooden sliding doors there. And I don't know, when you're on vacation, or when I'm on vacation, you know, I like to, you know, be up, do things, or, you know, hanging around or whatever. And I don't know, it just throws a wet blanket on it for me when they just start closing everything up so early. But again,
yeah,
they do it all over property, and again, they want you rested, so you're up spending money in the morning. And I guess I get it.
Nah, it's just, and you're not down there at the least crowded times of the year. You're usually down there when it's pretty crowded. So, I mean, with me, I can even wrap my head around it a little bit around 11, but I've been there many times like that. I want to go out and get that so-called midnight stack, and you can't do it.
No, it's they're pretty regimented on that. In that, you know, the River Mill there or whatever it is,
the old mill
will close, and yeah, you got to kind of plan your night out if you want to grab something from the food court or the bakery or what have you, because they close up pretty quickly, right around 11.
Yeah, because I would like to you come back from the parks 11 or 12. It'd be nice to grab a slice of pizza or just hang out at the River Roost for a little bit, you know, at the old mill. And you can't do it.
This is true. Let's see. Easter entertainment lineup for the Magic Kingdom. The Azalea Trail Maids will return to the Magic Kingdom this year as part of the park's Easter and Spring Entertainment. This is interesting. Let's see. Mr. and Mrs. Easter Bunny will be appearing in the Town Square Courtyard from March 14th to March 27th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Tomorrowland DJ Dance Party will extend operating hours from March 20th to April 2nd, midday to 11 p.m. Disney Festival of the Fantasy Parade will perform twice daily at 12 p.m. and 3 p.m. The Azalea Trail Maids will take part in an Easter pre-parade before Festival of Fantasy Parade on the 26th and 27th and will meet and greet around Town Square on March 27th. As second Main Street Electrical Parade has been added from March 28th to March 31st at midnight. Well, so they're adding another running of the Festival of Fantasy, and you're even on one day going to get another Main Street Electrical Parade, which is all good in my book.
Yeah, it is. So have you ever been down there at Easter time?
Yes, I think we were. Not I think. I know we were early on, and we haven't been in years, but we were there at that time.
Ridiculously crowded, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Spring break is one of the worst times out here altogether. And then, yeah, that Easter weekend is just about it's almost as bad as Christmas, I would say. It's packed.
That's when we went down for the first time, and I was like, holy moly. And it was the ice cream cake here, you know, the pink cake.
Yep.
My goodness, was it packed. I mean, it was packed. The least crowded time I had the whole week was when I played golf. The golf course was the least crowds that I dealt with, and that was packed, too. But, yeah, we went back again in April, and we try to stay away from that time.
Yeah,
It's ridiculous.
We haven't gone back since then, you know, for actually being there for Easter, and we tend to stay away from those time of years, or that time of year. Let's see here. Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend expands with new race, challenge, and course.
Michael, love this.
Yeah, let's see, for all our Disney runners, the 2016 Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend will expand to 3 days in 2016 with the addition of a new race, a new challenge, and a revised course for the half marathon. The Disney Wine and Dine 10K will debut on Saturday, November 5th, and will be included in Lemire's two-course challenge, which will require runners to complete the 10K and the half marathon. The revised half marathon course will take runners through ESPN Wide World of Sports, Disney's Animal Kingdom, and Epcot. The race will also move to the morning instead of being an evening event. The finish line party, 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Sunday, November 6th, which is part of the Epcot International Food and Wine Festival, will once again be available with an access to the food and wine marketplaces, plus Disney characters, musical performances, and an opportunity to ride signature Epcot attractions. Registration for this opens on March 29th at rundisney.com. So if you're interested in running any or all of these races, be at the ready on March 29th to get in there, because I'm sure this will sell out fairly quickly, as most of these races do nowadays.
I'm into the park attractions, but I'm not into the race.
No, me neither.
I know Mike, BRKS Mike, our friend Judith will be into that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know, you know, because they like to run. I don't know. Brenda is looking forward to doing that 1 year when we get down there, and I'm looking forward to being on the sidelines cheering her.
Yeah.
I'm already getting my 10,000 steps in at work.
Yeah, I guess for my living list, I think I might try to do a 5K at some point in the next couple of years just to say I did it, and then I'm done. I'll do what Lou did. I'll retire after I run that 5K.
Well, I might do the walk in 5K.
Yeah, even a fast run. I'm not saying I'm going to, you know, run it at a sprint, but long as I can not get picked up by the slow bus there and qualify to get the medal, that's all I'm going to do. And if it's a fast walk that I can accomplish that, then that's all good.
Yeah, well, I know Brenda will be in. Maybe you two can go and I'll sit by with a nice cold Peroni and watch you guys run by.
There you go.
Even though it'll be early in the morning, I might have to get a nice coffee.
Let's see here. Reservations now open for Minnie's Springtime Dime at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
You feel like a superstar.
Yeah. Reservations are now available for the new Springtime Dining offering at Disney's Hollywood Studios, Minnie's Springtime Dine at Hollywood and Vine Diner. We talked about this a few shows ago. Menu items include classic picnic foods with a twist, like refreshing coconut lavender lemonade, and springtime salads like watercress or basil lime fruit salad. Entrees include barbecue meatballs, buffalo baked chicken, lobster and shrimp mac and cheese, herb roasted pork, and more. For dessert, passion fruit cheesecake, key lime tarts, and banana cream puffs. Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy are all dressed up in their spring garden party outfits. Minnie Springtime Dining at Hollywood and Vine with reserved Fantasmic viewing is available for $52.99 per adult and $31.99 per child, 3 to 9 plus tax and gratuity. Without Fantasmic, the cost is $46.99 for adults, $27.99, or one credit on the Disney Dining Plan. You can make reservations at 407-939-3463. Dates available are from March 21st through June 5th.
The banana cream puffs sound really good.
Yeah.
The menu sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's different. Mm-hmm. I'll give it that. What was it, lobster and... crab macaroni and cheese or something.
I'm
like
in.
That.
Yeah, that sounds pretty tasty.
I don't need the Fantasmic show. If I'm going to spend the $56, we're going to go over to Brown Derby now.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm going to go eat. I'm going to go get waited on and be treated. You know what I mean? And make a night of it. Not saying that this is bad, but I'd rather spend the $56 a person at the Brown Derby. Yeah,
no,
that's just me.
Yeah. I think you're right when you're laying out that kind of money, and especially where we've all seen Fantasmic multiple times. You're going to get a better meal, certainly, at the Brown Derby. So I would agree with that.
And the thing of it is you're, I mean, is this going to be a trend now, too, that they're going to add an extra fee? Because it never was an extra fee to do the dine-in show.
Right.
You just had to eat at the Brown Derby or one of the restaurants and order an entree.
Right. Yeah, good question. And this is that, you know, they're trying this out, this different show this spring. But yeah, you're probably right, Doug. They're probably seeing how this goes. And if enough people partake in it, we'll probably see this, you know, that when you get these dining packages that include Fantasmic or any other nighttime spectacular, maybe they're going to tack on a fee now.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever heard a fee associated with that. So.
Exactly. You used to eat at Le Cellier, you got to get the candlelight processional because we did
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could do that. I mean, I've never had a fee for Fantasmic before. So here goes. And this is the stuff, and I'm not trying to be mean. The reason I get aggravated is I'm a travel agent. And it's part time, and it's not my main job, but you guys know I'm building, you know, at the college right now, I'm a contractor. But the reason I get on my soapbox about ad park hoppers and this and that is because they're adding so many different things. It's getting to the point where it's like the confusion, crazy confusion. This is just another thing for me to say. Well, I used to always say that you want to see Fantasmic, and I would book a dinner for my clients.
Right.
Now I got to start looking to see if there's an added surcharge, because at the end of the day, you add a little here, a little there. It's just the nickel and diming is aggravating.
Right.
Just charge me more and don't add it for everything. Don't give me options. There's way too many options now.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know, like you said, you're a travel agent and you're up to speed on this stuff more than I am. And, you know, I find it confusing because somebody will ask me a question at work and I'm like, well, I know it used to be that way. And, you know, you forget what they've added, what they've changed, what they've added, you know, added fees to. I mean, you know,
And it makes it, you're right, and it makes it a double-edged sword. I know I got you-know-what of the mouth right now.
Yeah.
But it makes it a double-edged sword because this is what happens, Dan. And you're like my client, and I'm booking your trip, which I have booked many of your trips. Dan, do you want to add my memory maker? Dan, do you want to go to Fantasmic? There's an extra charge. Dan, if you want to park closer to the Magic Kingdom, you could pay this. It gets to the point.
Right.
Dan, if you want to add park hoppers, you could do this. It gets to the point where you feel like you're nagging your client to spend
right.
more money.
And then you know the client's thinking, oh yeah, this guy probably gets a piece of the action every time. Right, I know that, but you know what I mean. That's a natural thought would be, oh, this guy's job is to get as many add-ons as possible, you know.
And then on the other hand, if I don't offer these to you, then I look like I'm not doing my job, because if I don't offer you, okay, you go to the park, because we're going to be reading this next article about the premium parking coming up. You have a bad back then. I don't want to push this on you. Then you come back and say, yo, idiot, why didn't you tell me for an extra $100 or $150 for the 10 days I'm down there?
Right.
I could park closer to the parks, because I don't want to look like a pain in the butt making you spend more money.
Right.
So you're darned if you do, you're darned if you don't with all this stuff.
Yeah, they could make it a lot simpler, you know, and even just like you've been, mentioning on the last couple of shows, this, you know, where they, you know, dinner at the Crystal Palace is $37.99, but on certain days it's $42.15 or whatever. I mean, split the difference, like you said, make it one price and move on, you know?
Yeah, everything is like, I mean, when you go to book a trip now, it's like everything, you got to break it down for people. Like I might just say, yeah, Crystal Palace, the buffet's $37 just because I know this. Then they get online and look, it's $42. Why are you lying to me? Or it looks like I'm trying to rip them off.
Right, right. When, you know, for whatever reason, Disney feels they need to charge $3 more on more busy days or whatever their rationale is. But,
Tuesday to 3rd, it's $37, but Tuesday to Wednesday to 4th, it's $52.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Does all of a sudden the price go up for the lobster? I mean, we don't want to complain, but I'm just trying to explain why this bothers me. It isn't about the money as more as it's about the aggravation of the money.
Yeah. Or just the plain old principle of the matter.
Yes.
You know, you're already paying, you know, granted, you know, we love Disney and it offers us these great attractions and grounds that are breathtaking and all that. But I mean, we do spend good money to go there, and you just feel like they're trying to squeeze every last nickel out of you nowadays. And you know, it's when we see that happening, or we feel that that's happening, we're gonna say it. And you know, I think a lot of people would agree with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and I hate it. So read the next story so I can really complain.
And let's see here. iPad froze up. Okay, here we go. Premium parking coming to Disney, Walt Disney World's parking lots, question mark. So before we read this story, for right now, we're going to put this in the rumor mill, but I suspect this has probably got some legs, but this is not a given yet. It's a rumor. But anyways, the story goes like this.
It's a rumor by a very, very credible source where we get all of our news basically from, and they're barely out. They're never wrong, really.
Exactly. So I think this will probably happen. But it looks like guests will soon be able to pay a premium to park their car in special lots. Located in front of the parking lot closest to the main entrances, premium parking will begin testing soon. It is speculated that the cost to park in a premium lot will be $15 in addition to the existing $20 parking fee. Although all parking lots are within walking distance of the main entrances, some can be a 15-minute walk, and many guests prefer to use the tram service. The new premium locations put the walking time within just a few minutes. Disney has in the past offered premium parking for AAA members and Disney Dining Experience members. Both were eventually discontinued. And there's a little poll here. I'll take it live here so we can see what the peeps out there are saying. Would you pay an additional $15 for premium parking at Walt Disney World theme park? And I am going to say no. Come on, poll. Going to work for me. And no is 93%. So So that's 7% say, or 8% say yes, and 93% say no. So I think at least the readers of this website are staunchly against this this added, or at least they won't participate in paying an extra $15.
Yeah, so if you're down there for 10 days and you want to park closer, it's $150.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing of it is what about the days of, okay, me and Brent got up at 6 o'clock, we ate an early breakfast, we drove over to Epcot, and I've done this where we parked almost all the way up by where the buses are.
Right, right.
Well, Dougie ain't going to get that no more. Dougie, you got to pay another $15 on top of your $5,000 that you already paid to come here.
Right, right.
I mean, it's that's the type of stuff. I mean, do they really need this extra $15?
Nope. I think, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. They're probably looking at it as they're offering this to those guests that would like to partake in it. I guess nobody has to pay this $15. It's totally optional. So they must figure that, they're going to offer it. And if people choose to do it, they'll make the money. And if they don't, they won't.
But the bottom line is somebody like me, you, or your aunt, uncle, or friends of ours are going to get messed up because you know all the front few rows in every one of the parks now are going to be taken away. So no matter what, you're going to be punished for it. You're going to be walking further.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot, obviously, hundreds of thousands of people use them parking lots, daily or yearly, however you want to say it, and it will affect a whole boatload of people. It doesn't affect me because I don't drive to the parks, but that's just me and my family. But I see what you're saying, that those premium spots that you could have gotten if you just showed up early, like you said, in all likelihood will not be available or be cordoned off for this premium parking program.
Yeah, how about you think outside the box, Disney, and maybe reward some of us, like DVC owners and annual pass owners. Maybe you clear up some spots and say you were selected today because you're an annual loyal person that owns DVC. You buy your annual pass. We're going to give you upfront parking today. And if God forbid that happens.
What do you think, John?
Well, this isn't surprising to me at all. Universal's been doing this for years. So ever since we've had our last passes to Universal, when you pay to park there or stop, and we get free parking there too, but they always try to upsell you, because our annual pass allows us to park for free. As soon as you pull up to the little kiosk, they're trying to upsell you for preferred parking. So it's not surprising that Disney looked at that model and said, well, hell, they're making extra money, we could do that too. So that's not surprising.
Yeah, well, God forbid Disney stays above them. They got to sink to that level of the extra $15. When there's going to be another $15 charge coming up soon, that just makes it fun for me too, for when I'm booking my guest.
Yeah. I mean, like the story said, I mean, they did used to do it for AAA members and whatever the other user group was, and they discontinued it. So who knows?
That was free. That was free.
Right.
AAA members and as dining members, you got that parking. So what they're basically telling you is they're taking those parking spots away from them, and now they're going to charge for them. Those spots have been there.
Right.
Those spots used to be for these two groups. Right. Now that they're no longer being used, and they were just basically being used by general public, now they decided, let's charge for these spots.
Right, right. Oh, well,
I'm the big Scrooge.
Let's see. Go-Go Squeeze Z is now the official applesauce of Walt Disney World. Who knew?
Wow.
Disney and Go-Go Squeeze Z have formed a new corporate alliance that names Go-Go Squeeze, or Squeeze, I guess is the way you'd say it, as the official applesauce of the Walt Disney World Resort and the Disneyland Resort. Go-Go Squeeze is the sponsor of the butterflies on the Go Butterfly Garden at Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival, and will also be the applesauce served at all locations around the resort that offers applesauce cups. So, look for this.
I like that butterfly exhibit. I always have.
Yeah, it's a tradition for us. I mean,
it's nice to walk through.
Yeah, and depending on how where they are and the butterflies are in their cocoons, if you catch it just right, I guess they try to put them out so that they're in all different stages of development. Mm-hmm. But when they're really hatching out on a nice sunny morning and stuff, that's pretty cool.
I wonder what the purple picture is of that. It looks like an alcoholic beverage, doesn't it? With the Go-Go Squeeze is now the official applause of applesauce of Walt Disney World. You see the drink they have above it? I was like, wonder what kind of drink they're offering. It looks like a purple drink there.
Yeah, I don't know.
You seeing that or no?
No.
Okay, well, mine has a purple drink on the site.
I'm seeing a picture of the butterfly and...
Yeah, mine has an alcoholic beverage on it. Must be wishful thinking.
Yeah, I think you're seeing things now.
Yeah, I had a Peroni or two, but no. Yeah. No, there is. On mine, I'll take a picture and text it to you.
Okay.
The last chance is the next one, buddy.
Yes. you enjoy the butterfly garden, John?
Yeah, we walked through it last weekend. It's always fun, and it was very crowded this year, though. There's more kids and just adults and everybody in there this year than I think I ever remember seeing. So it was packed, but yeah, it was really pretty. So
I enjoy it.
Yeah, we usually hit it each and every time we go to the festival. Is it in the same location, or have you not seen it yet, John?
It's there by Mouse Gear. I think that.
Out the backside.
Yeah,
Mouse Gear.
Yeah, where Mater and Lightning McQueen are over there in the Cactus Rally too. So yeah, it's in that area. So.
Yeah, that's where it's been since like '99 is the first time we've seen Flower Garden.
So.
We've been roaming through it ever since then.
Yeah, let's see. What do we got next for stories here?
Last chance to catch Guitar Dan at Disney Animal Kingdom?
Yep. Guitar Dan will be leaving Disney's Animal Kingdom this week with his final performances on March 11th. You can catch his performances at Rafiki's Planet Watch with show times of 11 a.m., 12 p.m., 12:45 p.m., 1:50 p.m., 2:50 p.m., and 3:50 p.m. So, I've never seen Guitar Dan. Have you guys?
No. I have no idea.
Don't know who he is.
No, neither have I, and you know I'm an Animal Kingdom lover. I mean, I'm sorry I missed them now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to YouTube them.
Yeah, watch, it'll be some awesome thing, right?
Our buddy will know, Mike will know who he is.
Yeah. Let's see, moving along here. Disney confirms Inside Out meet and greet to opening next month. Disney confirmed that the Inside Out meet and greet will be coming to Epcot in early April 2016.
Hope Sadness don't talk.
Yeah. The meet and greet with Joy and Sadness will take place in the newly expanded character spot, making use of the space of the former Innovations West. According to the official Disney Parks blog, Epcot character spot will provide direct access to headquarters where you can meet Joy and Sadness, two of the emotions from Help Guide Riley Through Life in the Disney Pixar film Inside Out. On the way to headquarters, you'll journey through Riley's long-term memory, catching a glimpse of her islands of personality before joining Joy and Sadness at the console. The expansion of the character spot into Innovations began with the new Baymax meet and greet that opened back in December of 2015.
Love me some Baymax. You gotta watch that movie, Den.
Yeah, I gotta get to it one of these days. I will. I've heard a lot of good things about that movie.
Yeah, I got to check out The Good Dinosaur. That's my next one.
Yeah, we almost watched it last night. We watched the new Tom Hanks one about the spies instead.
Okay. Yeah. My other one is I'm dying to see The Jungle Book. I want to see that.
Yeah, that looks really good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that as well. Let's see. Disney is considering adding a nightly resort fee
Yay!
To its resort hotels.
Can't wait.
According to a recent Walt Disney World survey that has been sent out to previous guests, Disney is considering adding a nightly resort fee to its hotels. The survey mentions a $15 per night resort fee that would include Disney's Magical Express, Magic Bands Fast Pass Plus, resort entertainment, Wi-Fi, extra magic hours, and parking at the resorts and parks. All of these features are currently included with any Walt Disney World Resort hotel stay, but the survey proposes a $15 per night charge to cover these. The survey goes on to ask how a resort fee would impact the decision to stay at the resort. Resort fees are common at other hotels, with the on-site Swan and Dolphin requiring a $25 per night fee, which includes Wi-Fi, two bottles of water, long-distance phone calls, and access to the health club. The off-site Gaylord Palms requires a $20 resort fee, which includes internet and health and fitness center.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Yeah, I'm so happy. I don't know where to start. let me get this straight now. Now, my Port Orleans Riverside, are they adding a gym for me? Am I going to get a gym to work out with and two bottles of water as I'm working out?
Yeah, you got to go over to, Coronado Springs.
No, but my 15 is going to be at Riverside. I want to work out. I want a club. And I used to get Wi-Fi and all for a while. I used to have to pay for it. Then they gave it to me for free, and now they want to take it back. I am so happy about this. Let me jump up and down, up and down, up and down. I mean, really? It's already over $200 a night at Riverside. I mean, the rates weren't enough. Now they want $15 more bucks.
It looks like it, and like we said, this is a survey. Don't know when this is coming or if it's coming, but they're definitely thinking about it, that's for sure.
But it's just like who's going to take this survey and say, yeah? Like what are they expecting? Everybody to say yes?
What a great idea. Sure.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, the way they worded the question, would it impact your decision to stay at a Disney resort? That answer, at least for me, is no. No. Right, I'm not going to go stay at the Ramada Inn on 192.
But I might stay at the B.
Yeah, I eventually. I would, but that's me.
well, eventually, then there's even going to run out of your pockets if this keeps up. I mean, we're going to be retiring in 15 years. I mean, honestly, if this constantly keeps happening, how you're DVC, so you're lucky. You ain't going to see any of this. But, you know, I mean, but what's going to happen then is all of a sudden with your DVC, they're going to start telling you got to start paying more. They double your maintenance fees. Are you going to be happy about that?
Yeah, I mean, my maintenance fees go up roughly 4% a year on average is what they
okay,
go
but what if all of it, like mine are going up double that now because I'm staying on property.
Right.
So all of a sudden yours go up 20%. You're going to be happy about that or you're going to be screaming on this show like
oh,
I'm
no.
doing?
No, I'll never be happy about it, but, I keep saying it and I'm not on this side of the issue, but just to be fair and balanced, to steal a quote from one of our nightly news shows, I mean – you know, you keep saying if this keeps happening, Doug, I got news for you.
But it's happening at a higher rate than is my point.
It's not going to stop. It's going to keep happening.
And it can stop. It's not going to, but it don't make it right. But the point of it is it ain't 4%. If you add what they raised Riverside from this last year to this year, plus add another $15 to it, it's about 12% to 15%.
I guess what I would say, Doug, is you can count on twice a year, at least for tickets, they're going to go up at least the cost of living, whatever it is, 2%, 1.5%.
But this year wasn't that. That's the reason I'm so angry. I mean,
across the board,
it's like a 20% raise if you count rooms and
but,
tickets. That's a lot of money.
What you keep saying is if this keeps happening like you expect them to stop, it is not going to stop.
You're right, but you're not getting my point. 4% I could live with per year. When it starts going to 12 to 15 to 20, I don't care who you are. It's going to price us out. If they go 20% per year for the next 5 years, you think you're going to be able to deal with it?
I mean, again, I don't want to sound like an SA, but, I will continue to go. I mean, I won't be happy. I'll be upset, but, I'm not going to stop going over it. But that's me.
It ain't that I'm going to want to stop, but it's to the point where I might have to. Hey, John, if they raise prices 20% the next 5 years, are you going to be able to afford your annual passes?
Yeah, honestly, well, hear your favorite phrase, but honestly, if they had raised my annual pass like they did in Disneyland, you saw the increase they did on Disneyland annual passes, which were just a massive. If they raised our passes, that we'd have to – I imagine the first thing we'd have to do is step back, you know, go back to getting the seasonal passes, and we'd have to step back a little bit and get those. But then at some point, we'd have to think about not doing them. But, I mean,
it's hard.
And the problem is we've locked ourselves in. I mean, we own DVC. That's where we're bound and determined to spend our vacation. So you almost have to, you know what I mean? So.
The point is this year here is the reason I'm so upset is – it's not a little bit. It's not 4%. It's not the normal increase because I used to be on your side then with Scott because Scott used to complain about it because he has all the kids.
Right.
And I used to be on your side. And I'm not on anybody's side here. I'm just speaking, I think, for the normal working guy working every day, and I'm making a good living right now. But the point of it is this raise was – it's been astronomical
when
across the board.
I agree.
What I'm worried about is when Star Wars Land opens, Toy Story Land opens, and Avatar Land opens, what's gonna happen? It's getting scary. The prices down there.
They're gonna go up, and in all likelihood, to your point, they're gonna go up, you know, in excess of the cost.
You have to be a darn Kardashian to be able to afford to go there. I'm gonna have to start selling my body.
It is sad, and you know, there's no rhyme or reason, and unfortunately, Disney doesn't, you know, put a press release out and explain it. Not that that would make it any more palatable, but, you know, they don't need to, and they're not going to explain to us why. I mean, maybe it would make sense if they explain why. I mean, I don't know, but All we care about is how much is it going to cost us to go, and that's the reality of our individual budgets is, you know, what can we afford? And you know, if we're spending money on other things like annual passes and, you know, whatever. Well, I mean,
And again, I keep going on and on where I'm complaining because the people I'm talking to, the people I'm booking for, like when I start telling, like that's where I get aggravated. With me, again, I'm a TA. My rates per room aren't affected by it. I just feel bad for what at the end of the day what it's going to be, as you guys keep making me say this stupid thing. The end of the day.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I told you guys what I get a weekly rate for and stuff like that. It's not bothering me. I'm paying less now than I did when I started going because of being a TA. But it is when I'm starting to sell for people, it's insane. It's so confusing. Oh, now you're going to have a 15-day resort fee, $15 night resort fee, $15 extra to park if you want to. If you want to stand on one foot and jump up and down, it's going to be $5 in front of the Mickey's Fill Her Magic, but you get on Small World for free today. I mean, it's like, it's just enough is enough already.
Well, and like John said, you know, we're both DVC members. I mean, maybe in a roundabout way, one of their rationales are to make those programs more attractive. I mean, maybe DVC is a better deal than it was last year, you know, given the fact that, you know, your rooms are locked in for the next 40 years if you buy. I mean, I don't know. I'm just
well,
saying.
Pretty soon the next revenue is going to be where you're, hopefully, and it don't, I pray to God it don't happen to you, but what's going to stop them from the maintenance fees tripling?
Yeah, I mean, every year it's a crapshoot as to what the maintenance fees go up. There's a calculation they do that it's, you know, based on the cost of living.
Yeah, because it's weird, because like Hilton Head's more than most of the resorts at Magic Kingdom because of the revenue they bring in.
Yeah, and like
I
the animal...
I've heard Vero Beach and Hilton Head were more because of the maintenance actually on the buildings because of the salt water.
That is true.
Yeah, that's what they tell you. It's because it has less turnover.
Right.
In October, November, they're dead there.
Right. And I know for a fact, the Animal Kingdom tends to have the highest maintenance fees because, as with all the DVC resorts, right, they gotta pay for the upkeep and the vets and all that goes with keeping the animals on the savanna that's in and around the Kidani Village there. So they tend to be a little more pricey as well.
Yeah, because we stayed at Hilton Head in October, and it's literally like me and my wife had the whole resort to ourselves almost.
Right.
So
right.
I think it has. It's all. They'll tell you one thing, but it has to do with crowds because you can't tell me that. Okay. The maintenance. They could say the sand, the blah blah blah. But you can't tell me that they the Boardwalk or Yacht and Beach Club don't get, or Saratoga Springs, they get 10 times the amount of people. There's more upkeep making the inside of those rooms stay clean than any of the Hilton Head rooms.
Yeah, and I think they're smaller resorts, or
yes,
whatever you want to call them, too. So there's less of a pool of people to pay for the maintenance. You know, oddly
enough,
Saratoga Springs tends to be the cheapest maintenance fees because it's so massive and there's so many people paying into the pool.
Exactly.
But anyways.
Like, I'll quit my WAN for today.
Let's see. Do you guys see the video of the Rivers of Light?
It looks amazing, don't it?
It does. I'm getting excited about this, but... let's see here. Disney, they posted there was a live chat with Michael Jung and Mark Renfro, two of the creative team members behind the Rivers of Light. Not many specific details were revealed in the chat, but we did learn that the capacity will be about 5,000 guests. Which
that stadium looks pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, I'm just kind of trying to get a handle on whether 5,000... Well, let me just pose the question. On an average night going forward, when this show starts to run, do you think that's enough seating to accommodate everyone that's going to be there to see it? I have no idea.
I honestly think it's definitely going to be a Fast Pass kind of deal. I bet you could use Fast Pass Plus for it. I think it kind of will be. I mean, I don't know. Do you think more than 5,000 people at World Showcase?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was trying to come to grips with. I mean, that's a big area, right? All the way around and all the places. I mean, I'm thinking it's more than 5,000, but I don't know how to quantify that. You know
I think
I'm
it's
saying?
Close. I think the thing is with River of Lights, yeah, the first few months, I think it's going to be ridiculous.
Right,
but I think
right.
Once it moves on, I think you'll be okay to get seating there. I really do.
Are you guys kind of afraid that... once the show's over every night, it's just going to be like Fantasmic, and you're going to be stuck there, and it's going to be miserable to try to get out. That's the only thing that I'm a, I mean, I'm going to go see it within a week or two of it opening, but man, I'm so afraid
I think
of being
it'll be
stuck
better,
there.
John. I honestly believe because of the way that stadium wraps around the water, I think there's going to be, hopefully, and this is just me just looking at it, I think there's going to be more exits than everybody have to come out of this. Where they messed up with Fantasmic, everybody has to come out that same
opening. One way, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, I'm thinking maybe if we came out and went towards, like, the Finding Nemo stadium or theater, you know, maybe that'll be a less traveled exit type
exactly.
of
exactly, like,
so.
Know how you get out of a sporting event and there's multiple exits?
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully they did this with River Lights, and I think they will because it goes around that whole river. I'm thinking there'll probably be two or three exits and entrances compared to, you know, with that Fantasmic, man. I mean, we just sit there eating our popcorn, drinking our beer, waiting for everybody to leave. I don't even get up and try.
There's no need to rush. You're just going to stay in line at the queuing up at the buses or whatever.
Yeah, we just chill. Then me and Brenda walk around, and then we, you know, we do our little trick where we go get in our car, and you know how I roll.
Yep. Yeah, so we don't have long to wait for this. I mean, this Rivers of Light opens on April 22nd, which is Earth Day, I believe.
Our buddy Aaron's down there now. He's hoping maybe they get a sneak peek.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll run some, do some testing or whatever.
Opens.
Yeah, I guarantee you they'll do that. So hopefully he's able to participate in that. Yeah, I wonder, you know, again, like World Showcase, where you can just cozy on up to the railing there anywhere around World Showcase. I wonder if they will let guests save a seat or, you know, like say at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if you want to just sit and wait for the show at night, if you can do that, or will it be chained off or fenced off or, you know, some sort of queue line type thing where you won't be able to do that?
I think they'll try chain it off kind of like they do, because that's what they do at the Candlelight Processional, Dan. There's like a long, long, if you don't have, you've seen that before, haven't you, John?
Yeah, where people are waiting. Well, there's one show going on, and there's people waiting for the next two shows in two different lines.
Yeah, and even before the first one, if you want to wait, you could stand in that line along where all the stones are and them little half stone walls and stuff like that, where the benches are.
Right.
So I'm thinking probably maybe an hour or two before, but they're not going to let you at 5, because this show has to go off at dark.
Right, 8 o'clock or some.
I'm thinking there's going to be a whole lot of Fast Pass Plus going on for this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I can't wait for it, though. I'm really excited about it. Hopefully our buddy Aaron gets to see it. You see his beautiful family, and the great part of that was his daughter didn't know they were going until this morning.
Yeah, that's a great surprise.
Yep, because I had to text him and tweet, and I couldn't mention it or anything to him. But, yeah, she got surprised this morning. She had no idea until they woke her up at 3 o'clock this morning and told her she was going to Disney World. That's awesome.
Wow.
Have a great time, guys.
That's awesome. Now, let's see here. Night Safari at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
I'm in.
Now open to all. Yeah, that's nice. Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge has made a few changes to its Night Safari offering, which takes guests on a tour of the savannas with night vision goggles. First, to help you differentiate from the new nighttime safari coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom Park, the Night Safari has been renamed to Starlight Safari. Secondly, the Starlight Safari is now open to all guests, and not just to those staying at Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge. The hour-long tour costs $70 plus tax.
I was kidding. I said $15. I was joking.
And it's available for ages 8 and above. Reservations can be made by calling 407-WDW-TOUR. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Like the $15 is for the valet parking at the Animal Kingdom to go see this. That's what I messed up on.
Let's see here.
I'm in, Dan. We should go do that together.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Now, I wonder if you DVC, if you guys get that as part of your DVC for free. I think you would.
Or a discount. I mean, to be honest, I haven't gone on the DVC site in a while, but they do list all of the discounts that we get, and any show discounts or anything like that towards. Definitely would get 10 to 15% off, I'm sure, but maybe even for nothing, I don't know. We shall
check into that. Let us know.
Yeah.
That's your homework.
Yeah. Discounts available for Club Villain during March. The hard ticketed event at Disney's Hollywood Studios can now be booked at a discounted rate. Let's
see. You in for that, John?
No, I think my wife would like it a lot. She's a big fan of the villain, so I doubt.
Is that why
though.
She
not,
married
not
you,
the
bad
price
boy?
Point at, so.
Is that why she married you? Because you're a bad boy.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, the discount is available for annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members, and lowers the regular $129 price to $99, including tax and gratuity. Available dates for the discounted rate are between March 8th and March 22nd. Reservations can be made by calling 407-WDW-DINE for annual pass holders or via DVC Member Services for Disney Vacation Club members. Disney is honoring the discount for existing reservations. Call 407-WDW-DINE or DVC Member Services, blah, blah, blah. The special event at Disney Hollywood Studios was originally priced at $99, but increased to $129 in February when the dates were released for March and beyond. So maybe they weren't selling the house out here.
No, that's what it sounds like, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good to see that they, you know, and again, this is true of all these things we're talking about. It truly is supply and demand. If people stop going to a particular thing, they'll either get rid of it or do what they did in this instance. They will offer a discount. So, we always say it, we're our own worst enemy. If we keep going, they're going to, why do they do it? Because they can. Doesn't mean they should, but they can.
I got a really good idea for them. Know how when you check in as you come and go in your resort, they have the guard in the booth?
Yes.
They should just turn him into a toll collector.
Yeah,
you pay a $5 toll every time you come in and out of
the
resort.
Pike, right, Doug?
Yeah, right. Like turnpike worker. He could sit there and just take the toll each time you're going in. Just get him, take his hat off, and you drop the $5 in his hat.
I still say one better. They should just send out payroll deduction forms to all our employers and just let them take it right out of our checks.
Yeah, the Disney tax.
Right? Just like if you donate to a charity or whatever else you have.
Wish we could write it off. I really do, yeah. Dan. We'd be living large, wouldn't we, buddy?
Yeah, we'd definitely be saving a few bucks. Yeah, Purple Magic Band now available. For whatever reason, this has been a big thing. I don't know. It didn't really matter to me. But apparently the elusive Purple Magic Band that was previously unavailable to...
A lot of people wanted that.
Yeah. So it's available now for a $15... No, I'm only kidding. If you want, you can pay $15 upcharge. You can now select that when you're ordering your magic bands when you're heading down to the park. So.
Well, my mother-in-law's really happy about that. That's her favorite color. Everything she wants is purple. So.
There you go. And that's pretty much it, unless you two gentlemen have something you want to throw on the pile for newsworthy information.
You got anything, John? I don't.
I don't think so. I think you covered pretty much everything.
I cried enough this show. And again, it's because I care, you know.
I know.
I love the place. I mean, we can't always be chim-chimity-chim-chim-tree, you know what I'm saying? We gotta, when the chimney's smoking, we gotta complain.
Well, there's, there's plenty of podcasts out there where everything is positive, and even if something is negative, it's still a positive. So, I mean, it's nice to have a differing opinion or to hear somebody maybe speak the truth a little bit every once in a while. So.
Well, John, I know how hard you work to go. I know how hard you work to go, Dan. Yep. It isn't like any of us are independently wealthy.
Nope.
I mean, if the three of us had all the money we spent on Disney back, we could all probably retire.
I could afford that premium parking at the park.
Exactly. So it isn't about that. It's just we love the place so much, and I know, and I feel bad because I know how hard we work to go there. That's, you know, after our lives, after our wives and our families, that's probably the next most important thing to all of us, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it is for me.
So I don't want to see us locked out, and none of us, we worked very hard to where we are, and it's like, I want to see us be able to go and enjoy it from years to come. I don't want to turn it into, like, the way it's going is the reason I'm getting, it's more of I'm scared of losing the place.
Right.
It's like, it's going to become lifestyles of rich and famous, and none of us three are.
No. You're right. I mean, Disney has, what do they call that? They're not market researchers, but I mean, they don't make these decisions in a vacuum. So apparently they have people that think, now whether that's true or not, but they must think that they can do this and not only not hurt the bottom line, but increase the bottom line. And again, I agree with you, Doug. It isn't right, you know, morally, I guess, is the best way to put it. But, I mean, they would never make these decisions going into it, you know, if they knew that it was going to impact or it was going to cause, you know, returns to be down at the theme parks. They just wouldn't do it. It would make no sense. So, you know, the fact they're doing it, they must figure that, you know, people still have more to give, you know, and that isn't right, but they think that.
Yeah, well, eventually they're going to, you know, you can't always be right.
Right. But again, I would think that if and when that does happen, and, you know, it probably will happen at some point, maybe they will flatline a, you know, they'll jump over a ticket price increase, you know, in the August window. If they started to see a 20% drop off at the parks, let's just say, they would probably freeze prices, I'm guessing.
I don't know. Whole show started was, and the reason I started this show is because it was three guys sitting at the bar, blue collar guys talking Disney. And it's starting to feel like they are trying to lock the blue collar people out is the point it's coming to, and it's really starting to scare me is what I'm saying. Yeah. There's a lot of people I know that aren't in our position that they can't even think to afford it.
Right.
And that's what's worried, because everybody should have the right to go see Disney World because it's that beautiful.
No, you're
right.
That's
my opinion.
And we did cover it as far as, you know, the people that are just scraping together enough money to stay at a value resort, you know, they're probably going to have to stay elsewhere and not experience a Disney resort, which is, you know, it's a whole thing in itself. Yeah, you're right. Everybody should experience that. I mean, even the movies, you know, music or whatever. I mean, those resorts are awesome. If you've never been, I mean, you know, they're colorful and, you know, you got all the icons there. And, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be a certain segment of the population that's just not going to be able to afford it.
Yeah, they're all banging over 100 a night down now.
Yeah.
Not even 5-6 years ago, you'd get a room there for $50-$69
yep.
a night.
I remember those days. You're
yeah.
right.
And again, they stayed around the same, like, for years. The all-star music and movie and Pop Century, they would go up by what? 8, maybe $7, $10, you know,
yeah.
like 6, 5. There was hardly any increases. Now they're going up $20, $30, $40, $50 peak. Well, that's my whole point. This has been the last year and a half, 2 years, the prices have been going ridiculously up. It isn't just a gradual. It's like, just bite me, it's going up.
This is true.
And that's the point. So let's go into some fun times. You went over to Food and Wine. You got to meet our good buddy John, huh, Bob? I mean, John, you got to meet Bob.
Well, I went to the Flower and Garden Festival, and I'm John.
Yeah. But, John, you got to meet our good buddy Bob at the Food and Flowers, he likes to call it.
There you go. Yeah, I ran into him in the afternoon, and we tried a couple items and walked around a little bit. And,
so did you stalk him, or did he stalk you?
I asked him where he was at earlier in the day, and then I posted a couple of things. He posted a couple of things, and then he sent me a text or a Facebook message wondering where I was about 2 o'clock, and he happened to be heading to America to the smokehouse, and that's where we were, so it worked out perfectly. So.
Yeah, because he reached out to me and vested you. He wanted some background on you and all this other stuff, and I told him to proceed with caution, but he's not a bad guy, even though he sent Dennis 3 things and me only 2 this last time, but
boy,
it's beside the point.
I
got
to make up now. No,
it's okay.
To...
No, John, all kidding aside, I really do appreciate all you do. Thank you.
No problem. It's fun.
Start off with your first place.
Well, let's see, the couple of new topiaries they had out there that I hadn't got pictures of before was the Ranger Mickey behind Spaceship Earth, and then Huey, Louie, Dewey, and Donald, you know, up front in the garden when you first come in. And so those were the new ones that I noticed. Got some pictures of those, and then we went over to the festival center, and I grabbed all the guides and we walked around there really quick. It was extremely crowded. There's like no days when we go out there anymore where it's, you know, you remember days of walking around Epcot.
You could put your head down and walk and not bump into somebody.
Yeah, man, it just doesn't happen anymore. So, yeah, and when we came out of there, I caught part of the show of the, what do they call them when they're not the Jaminators at this time of year? They're the... gardener guys, so, but anyway, they're still playing their musical instruments on the trash cans and stuff. but they're dressed as gardeners now and not the Gaminators. So.
Yeah, oh, yeah. What is it? Smoke, Sweat, and Tears or Shears or something like that?
They were over at the studios. In fact, they just played their last set.
That's right. That's what's on my mind. That's what's on my head. That's what I went into.
Yeah, so caught a little bit of them, and then we headed over to the promenade. And let's see, you want to go from maybe my least favorite to my favorite, or?
Yeah, that sounds good. That's why we count down. We'll go from, how many did you have, six?
Yeah, six.
So we'll count down from six to one.
All righty. I would say number six and five were actually both from the Cider House, which was there at the UK Pavilion.
Okay.
And we tried the, it's the corned beef. Let's see, I'll look it up here.
Did Bob join you for this?
Exactly what it is. It was the corned beef. What's that?
Did Bob join you for this one?
No, we didn't see Bob until we got over to the smokehouse.
Okay, so this was you and the missus.
This was me and the wife. Yes, indeed. All right, so the Cider House, it was we had the house-made potato and cheddar cheese biscuit with smoked salmon tartare, and the pear cider brine shredded corned beef with braised cabbage and pears and Branston dressing. The salmon tartare was about the consistency of cat food. It was not good. Not good at all.
We're complaining again. We're sorry.
it was, and I don't know, that the potato didn't translate well into a biscuit. It was too dense. That was by far the least favorite of my. I couldn't even get my wife to try it. It just did not. It did not look appealing at all. But on the other side, even though it's number five, the corned beef was actually really tasty. You could taste the pear cider in it. So I liked that one. It wasn't one of my favorites, but I mean, it was still much better than
that. You were happy you tried it, but it was like the other was like, who wants to eat cat food?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I'll have to look up and see if tartar is, that's the way they meant to serve it, or whether you just got something that wasn't very appealing.
Well, shrimp tartare is supposed to be like sushi almost, uncooked, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, that's what it was. It was minced, I would say.
The cat minced it.
Yeah. Ugh. So, yeah, and I'm, you know, as you were saying, I'm a blue-collar dude. I mean, I value my dollars very, very highly, and I don't throw stuff away. And more than half of this went right back into the trash can. So
wow, so that's saying a lot, that it was really just not a very good dish in your opinion.
No. Okay. And it wasn't. I like smoked salmon. I like salmon. I like sushi. So it wasn't that. It wasn't prepared very well, in my opinion. You know, like you said. Right. But yeah. So we tried those two, and then I would say the one probably in number four would be the. Pulled duck confit in the...
Or is that confit?
Was that in Fleur de Lis? No?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Yeah, the confit canard, which is pulled duck confit with braised floriquette beans.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
I liked the entire dish an awful lot. And it was... they had made it in one of the little ramekins, and then they kind of just dump it out on the plate, and it hadn't sat long enough where it was gelled or anything, so it was still nice and fluid when it was dumped out and everything. I ate the entire thing. The wife liked the duck an awful lot, but she wasn't a big fan of the beans that were with it, so.
Yeah, but, I'm just not a duck kind of guy.
You guys probably wouldn't like that one a whole lot. So.
Like I said, it's just weird. There's like... You know how it's just certain things, and Denny feels the same way. There's just certain animals, it's weird, like, not that I think any animal deserves to be eaten, but there's just certain ones I can and certain I can't. It's just...
A chicken I'm, you're good with.
Yes, but a duck I'm not, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. I know I'm a lunatic for feeling this way, but just, I feel bad eating a duck, but come on, chicken wings. I don't know, it's just, you know what I'm saying, it's just how you're trained.
Which,
you know, lamb and venison, same way. I hate to eat Bambi. I've done it many a times, but I'm not a fan of it. So what's next, my friend?
The number three would probably be the pulled pork slider from the smokehouse there in American Adventure. It was very good. It was a good smoked sandwich and actually one of the better values, you know. I would say for the $5.50 that we paid, I think it was $5.50, you almost get a full-size regular barbecue sandwich. So
that sounds good. Sounds really good.
Now, do you,
and you can get it without the slaw. That's how we get it. I'm not a big coleslaw fan. So we got that, and then we added the sweet barbecue sauce that they have around the corner. They had sweet, a Carolina style barbecue sauce and a spicy sauce. So we added sweet, and that was good. And actually, I don't know if you guys saw the picture, but I got a picture of Chef Eugene standing there by the smoker with a, you don't care about pigs. There was a giant pig actually on the smoker getting smoked as we were there. So
it's weird. I like ham, but I've done a couple pig roasts. I don't like looking at the pig get cooked. It's just not fun for me. Are you into watching a pig, like you're looking at a pig there being cooked? I mean, it's not like I'm not thrilled by it. I enjoy the taste of it, but I'm not thrilled by it. Do you like the sight of a roasted pig, then?
I gotta say, I've never been in the presence of a whole pig being cooked on a rotisserie like that, but I don't think it would bother me. I'd be good with it.
I've been to a couple pig roasts, dude. It's not the most appealing thing. I don't need to see it. I mean,
right.
Yeah, like it'd be like, I don't know. It's like going out to dinner. Do you want to see the chicken hat be the wings taken off of? I mean, the feathers? You want to see it?
No, I mean,
do you want to see the fish flayed in front of you? Uh-uh. Just give me the meat. I don't need to see the torture you put a pig through. I mean, it's just me, man. And all the guys on the construction site will pick on me for being a sissy, but I don't need to see the pig torture.
My favorite part of Christmas Story is at the end when they go to the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. Duck, yeah.
Yeah.
When they chop the head. Yeah, the thing's looking at him on the plate.
Yeah,
and they make the guy
smiling at me. So. Yeah.
That's a funny part of that movie.
But that's funny how they have the Kahlua pork slider at the at the American Adventure out in front of the American Pavilion at the smokehouse. Like they had that on the Chew then. I told you my wife loves that show.
Yes.
And they were celebrating America. And they said the same thing we said. It gets so annoying that everybody thinks of America because of a cheeseburger. And they were going on and on about all the great different cultures and the melting pot that this country is. Why do everybody have to keep saying it's the hamburger?
Right.
They did the same thing we were talking about. They were going to up in Maine and up in New England, you get all great fish and lobster, and go to New Orleans and get, you know, all the jambalaya. And they were going on and on about all the different, and Little Italy and everything. And we're stuck with that crappy menu down there.
Yes, we are. We thought it was changing, and it did change, but they brought it back. So I don't know what that says about the whole situation, but
they need to put a sit-down restaurant in there that has good food.
Yeah, it seems like they have the space to do it, too.
Yeah, put another – I mean, keep the Liberty in. I mean, if you want that to have that garbage there. But add a nice restaurant. Have a nice restaurant with all the different cuisines from across the country. I would enjoy that. There's plenty of room.
Absolutely.
Like you said. So yeah. What else you have at the smokehouse?
That was all we had there. So we're going to go back in a couple of weeks, and then we're going to try the ribs.
Okay.
But
did Bob just get the pulled pork slider, or where did he go with you?
From what he said, he had the pulled pork slider the week before, or the day before. And
did he try the ribs or no?
No, he had it again. He had the pulled pork slider again. So
he's so into the same. He likes his same stuff. Have you noticed that, Dennis?
Yeah. Next, he'll be eating a lamb meatball somewhere.
Yeah. See, he don't try the other stuff. Like, I mean, if I was down there as much as you guys, like, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I wouldn't keep getting the pulled pork. I'd have to try the other thing on the menu once or twice, wouldn't you, Den?
Yeah, I mean, just generally speaking, in the American Pavilion there, I mean, generally speaking, all the additions are phenomenal, if I could say that.
Phenomenal?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. But, yeah, I mean, they're all awesome. So if I'm there on a week trip, I usually get the pulled pork first out of the box and then whatever else. Like, they had some... there was some spare ribs, I think, last year's fest. I think it was Flowering Garden, but they had spare ribs. And I got, like, on the second trip through. And I agree with you. I would definitely try to get something that I haven't had before. But I must say, not to to defend Bob, but those pulled pork sliders, they're so good. They're good.
I believe what we usually do when we go back out is we'll try we'll get our two favorites that we had before, but then everything else will be something new and different. And so then that way we still know we're going to get an item or two that are our favorites, but we'll try the different items too. So
that's the way to have your cake and eat it too.
As everybody knows, I'm going to go get my bangers and mash. But
exactly right.
I still try more, and I'm not saying I know Bob tries a lot of the stuff on the menus. I'm only kidding, but he always end up like you did, the pulled pork slider and the lamb meatball. He does not miss a chance to eat that.
Well, he was from what he said, he was a little disappointed with the pulled pork slider this year. I thought it was really good, but he said it was a bit dry and just didn't match up to the ones that he's had the last couple of years. So
he'll have to try it three more times to get a moist one.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I kind of give the kiosks a little bit of a break. I mean, the fact that they're not cooking in a long time. Kitchen. Exactly, Doug. I mean, granted, they still need to prepare it, and present it in a proper way. But, they're rifling out this food to, thousands of people an hour or whatever it might be. And, I'm kind of lenient when it comes to that. And that, you're bound to get a cold one once in a while or may not be quite.
Yeah, if they're made to order, it's a different story.
I'm not that critical. But again, where Bob goes all the time, and yeah, exactly. And, that's Bob's thing. He's the food critic, and he has a whole website pretty much devoted to it. So he is probably a little more critical than we would be, but I understand that.
Oh, we're only playing. We're the Bob critics.
Yeah. There you go.
We love Bob. He's a great friend of the show, and I can't wait to do a food review with him soon.
Yes.
He was supposed to be on last week, but because of my schedule. And that's another thing. Well, I'll mention it now. Sorry, guys, we're only doing the one show a week, but I've been slammed at this job that I've been on. We've been working 7 days a week. So we'll be doing two shows a week again shortly, but I know our Sunday ones have been long enough for three shows. So.
Right.
So what do you have next, Johnny?
All right, I got two left, and me and the wife disagreed on these two, but her favorite was the steam bun.
So she was right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're probably right. But yeah, her favorite was the Gaoli steam bun from the Lotus House in China. And I liked that one an awful lot, too. That was number two for me. It was, it's got a nice couple of slices of beef in there and then some raw onion to give it a nice crunch. And just the sauce is delicious. And every time we've tried the steam buns out there, I think I've enjoyed every one except for Peking duck they had last year at the Food and Wine Festival. But any of the other times, those steam buns are delicious. So
they're pretty consistent with the steam buns there for you.
Yeah, they're actually really good. And my favorite was the shrimp and grits from the Florida Fresh booth.
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It was fantastic, and there was no shells or tails on the shrimp this time, so you were able to just shovel in the entire thing without worrying about it. So.
Yeah, I had that one at last year's festival. That's a returning dish, and that ranked probably the number one dish for me. The shrimp was just awesome, and I know a couple of people on Twitter were mentioning that grits aren't their favorite thing, and I'll just tell you, you're not getting that dish for the grits, trust me.
Now, were those shrimps better? Are the shrimp better there, or was it better at Spice Road Table?
Oh,
the spicy garlic shrimp.
Two totally different things. I mean, each.
But if you had a pick right now, what you could have, what would you choose? The spicy garlic shrimp or them?
I'd probably go with the festival rendition because they have the andouille sausage in there as well, don't they?
Yeah, there was some of that, and then just a nice blend of peppers and stuff in with the grit. So, yeah, it was altogether fantastic.
Yeah. I guess what I'd be saying, Doug, is the andouille sausage is spicy. Not real spicy, but it gives you a little bit of heat, so I'd be getting my spicy garlic shrimp. So I'd go with the festival.
Yeah, see, I think I would go with Spice Road.
Oh, you can't go wrong.
No, it's like choosing between two superstars. You know,
exactly.
Who's better, Schmidt or Babe? You know, what right. I mean, you're not gonna go wrong either way. But no, I don't know. I can't wait to get down there and sink my teeth in some of this good food again. I'm looking forward. That's what all these hours are for. Then what are you planning on going to next, Johnny? Any of the booths that you didn't get to hit yet?
Yeah, there were several that we didn't get around to. We'll probably definitely get the steam bun again, and I'll definitely get the shrimp and grits again. But yeah, we didn't try the Taste of Marrakesh or the Hinami one in Japan, or the Primavera Kitchen. Well, the thing about the Primavera Kitchen is, I mean, they have a ravioli and a chicken parmesan, and I deliver to the Italian restaurant, so it's kind of,
they've done that.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're really hungry, maybe you'll try one before the festival's over, but you can try everything else first.
Yeah, and I want to definitely, I didn't hit up the Dole Whip with the rum shot in it, so I want to give that a shot.
Of course you do.
Yes, I do.
I can attest to that. That's good also.
Okay.
I'm in. I could use a couple of them right now.
Yeah, but you could. So.
But that's going to be a good. I'm sorry, Johnny.
No, I was going to say, all in all, I enjoyed, I think I'm getting close to the point where I actually enjoy the Flower and Garden Festival as much, if not more, than the Food and Wine Festival, just because you get the food, and the weather is actually nicer than it was last year. So, and the crowds aren't, while it was crowded, it wasn't as bad as the Food and Wine Festival. The Food and Wine Festival this past year was just people on top of people on top of people for the entire festival. So, yeah, we had a really good time. It was thoroughly enjoyable. So.
Yeah, and I keep seeing the Flower and Garden getting bigger and bigger. I like we've said on this show, I could see the Flower and Garden Festival getting as many boosted Food and Wine before you know it.
Yeah, I think they're creeping up there each year. They add one or two in. So you're right, Doug. Eventually, it might rival the Food and Wine, which that's all good with me.
Well, it's good. I mean, it gives people options because everybody can't go in September, October, especially teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes around this time of year, the season's been on long enough, you might be able to call out. You know what I'm saying? Take your week's vacation towards the end of the year. Who wanted to take off school at the beginning of the year?
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just more food, the better for me.
I agree with that.
So, but Johnny, I appreciate all all the homework you did. We know we put you through a lot of strenuous work down there doing all these reports for us.
It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it. So.
Yeah, pretty soon me and Den's gonna have to do it.
Oh yeah, we'll get our turn in the batter's box.
Yeah, we need to get down there and meet up with this dude and have some fun at some of these kiosks with him.
Absolutely.
But a great job again this week, guys. I appreciate you waiting to record a little later for me today. I'll pick up the tab tonight because I've already had a couple, so it'll be easier for me to pay.
All right.
There's a $15 charge for your seat, so.
Yeah, not enough charge.
No, I'm going to start charging you guys $15 a week for a personal seat license, like the NFL does.
Yeah, there you go.
Personal pub license. But no, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for your reviews over on iTunes. Thank you for your review, Liam. We appreciate it, Lou. Good, any feedback, we're happy. It lets us know you guys are listening.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate it all. And you're all friends of the show. Please leave us reviews on iTunes. Check us out on Twitter. John's at Beer Solo. Dennis is at Oak Manor. I'm Grumpy67. Or you can find the podcast at WDW Main Street. You can check us out on iTunes at WDW Main Street or head over to Facebook at WDW Main Street. John's been doing a wonderful job posting a ton of pics. And I know he's put more on Facebook recently, so go check him out. Thanks again for that, John.
You betcha. No problem.
You guys have a wonderful week. I had no weekend this week. I'm looking forward to next weekend. And we will talk to you guys real soon.
See you later.
All right. Have a good day.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.